Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
This whole month, we've been talking about navigating hardship. And today, we're going to look at what it is to look forward while we're going through hardship. The Bible engagement takes us through a story in John chapter 4, and I would like us to read it. John chapter 4. Verse 46. I'm not going to dive into the story too deeply because you will this week in your Bible studies, but I do want to read it because I feel like it's very helpful in understanding what the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you and me this morning. John chapter 4, verse 46 through 53. All right. As he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and he begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" The official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home, your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, the fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. What an incredible story. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as Jesus could heal with one word then, he still does it today. Just as you are aware of all that was happening then, you are aware of all that is happening now. And today we open up our hearts. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Open up our understanding so that we can know how to navigate hardship in a way that honors you. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. See, each journey, your journey, my journey, it all includes a time in between the word of God, the promise of God, and when we actually see it fulfilled, right? So this father, he had a full day of travel. When he came to Jesus, "Please heal my son," Jesus said, "You can go, your son will live." And the man believed and started heading home. And one day later, he finds out that what Jesus said actually happened. And I thought to myself, I wonder what his thoughts were on that journey home. Was he thinking, "All right, Jesus said it's going to happen. Yeah, I can't wait to see my son. I'm going to hug him. We're going to play ball." I don't know what they did back then. But, you know, like, we're going to spend time together. It's going to be awesome. Or maybe there was a little more waffling, like, "Well, Jesus said it, but, I mean, he didn't want to come with me. And he said I could go. And will my boy really be healed? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, could you imagine the thoughts in this man's head?" You and I can relate to the same thing where we get a word from God and in the moment we're like, "Yes, I believe." And then we start the journey of faith. And then we say, "I believe, I'm not so sure. I'm strong in my faith. I'm a little waffling here and there." It's a journey of faith. That's why it's called the journey. One day, one moment at a time. Of choosing to trust Jesus. I can only imagine his emotions when he heard the word of Jesus, but he had not yet experienced the word. I don't know if maybe at first it was joy. I don't know if fear crept in or anxiety. You know, sometimes we read these stories so sterile and we don't actually get into the story and realize, man, they're human just like you and I. What were they thinking? What were they feeling? And even though this man had no proof that his son was well, he chose to believe God, to believe Jesus, and to go forward into the promise of God. And that's what it is. When we navigate hardship, we want to move forward into the promise of God. So we have talked about this month how important it is to know the presence of God, that he's with us always, even in the dark, difficult, challenging times. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Come on, tell your neighbor, God is always with you. Now I want you to put your hand on your heart and say, God is always with me. So we gotta remind ourselves when we find this difficult, challenging hardship, when we're right in the middle of it, talk to yourself, remind yourself, God, I know you're with me. Whether I feel your presence with warm gooseies or not, you're with me. No matter what my situation looks like, you're with me. Even if it seems like you're sleeping in the boat, you're with me. And while you're navigating hardship, not only do you need to hold to the truth that God's presence is with you and within you, you need to declare his promise. See, I wonder if that man just kept going home and said, well, Jesus said, every time a thought came in, oh, I hope my son's really sick. No, Jesus said he was well. Like how many times do you and I, our thoughts start to drift from faith to fear or anxiety, and we have to immediately stop those thoughts and redirect them. Nope, Jesus said. Jesus said, the word says. So you got to know his presence is with you. You got to declare his promises, and you got to trust his perfect timing as part of the process of developing your faith. His timing is always perfect, and his timing is rarely your timing. So the sooner you let go of your timetable, the easier it will be to be at rest and peace. Trust. You got to let it go. I'm going to tell your neighbor, let it go. I know you think you know better than God, but you don't. Just in case you're confused this morning. He has perfect timing. And then today we're going to talk about how it is important to choose to press on in faith. Say press on. We got to press on in faith. Now I want to draw your attention to verse 48 in John chapter 4. Because Jesus replies to this father's request in a way that I would not expect Jesus to, right? So he comes to him and he says, Jesus, my son's going to die. Would you please heal him? And look what Jesus says in verse 48. He says, will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? You know, anytime you read a response to Jesus that doesn't seem to fit, you got to dig a little deeper and say, what are you really saying here? Jesus was not being flippant. I don't think Jesus was annoyed. I don't think Jesus was impatient. I think Jesus was trying to illustrate a principle of heaven, that faith is by knowing and believing and trusting and not by sight. He says, will you not believe me unless you see it? Right? How many of us are the same way? I want to see it. I want to see it, then I'll believe it. Oh, you say God's good, I want to see it first. God says, hey, I want you to do this. Well, I need to see how it's going to work out first. We're a see it to believe it people. That's what Jesus is actually addressing here. When will you transition from I got to see it to believe it to no matter if I don't see it now, I will believe. And I think this father got it. Which is why when Jesus said, you can go, your son will live, he believed even though he didn't see. And part of going through hardship is don't base your faith on what you can see or cannot see. Your faith is in the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of his word. Amen. See, miracles, signs, and wonders, they're great. It was amazing to see God touch Sister Sunny. I mean, when she walked in my house on Wednesday, she was in visible pain. And she was telling me the story, and all of a sudden, I just felt deep compassion for her. And I said, I'm going to pray for you, Sonny. She's like, yes. And it was just, it was all God. It's all God. It's not me. It's just God. It's God who wants to heal. And he does heal. He still heals today. He still sets free. He still delivers. But signs and wonders and miracles are not the point. Jesus is the point. Signs, wonders, and miracles are to point people to Jesus. But we have to choose to believe God before we see the miracle. When you navigate hardship, don't wait till you see it to believe it. Act in faith now. act in faith now. Our faith should not be rooted in what we think we want, what we think God should do, how we think he should do it, when we want him to do it. But our faith should be rooted in Christ alone. So we have to press on in our relationship with Christ so that we can grow in Christ and we can become like Christ, because Christ is all that matters. Say that with me. Christ is all that matters. Say it again. Christ is all that matters. And yet the world can make us think that a lot of other things matter. But Christ is all that matters. I'm going to read a lot of scripture today because I like it when the Bible just speaks for itself. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Paul says, whatever happens, let me just pause for a moment. Philippians was written by Paul when he was in prison for doing nothing wrong. I just got to give you some context. Now, prison in those days was not like prison today. It was not comfortable. In fact, I saw the prison when I was in Rome. I saw the prison that he was in. It was small. It's smaller than even a closet in Manhattan. And it was made out of stone. It was cold. It was musty. It was narrow. So Paul is writing this letter to encourage the believers in the city of Philippi and to be read around the other churches. So you just got to know that when you read the book of Philippians, see what happens all the time. Philippians, maybe this is written to the Filipinos today. No, I'm just kidding. But in the book of Philippians, when we read this book, it's interesting because there are two strong themes in this book, Jesus and joy. Jesus and joy. Chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Like there is a lot of emphasis on joy. And it just strikes me when I think Paul's not writing this from a cushy mansion up in the hill of Zion. He's writing this from a dirty, small prison in Rome. So this is what he says, chapter 3, verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Pause. Can we all read that together? Ready, go. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, you stub your toe, rejoice in the Lord. You have a good day, rejoice in the Lord. Everything hits the wall, rejoice in the Lord. You get a good report, rejoice in the Lord. You get a bad report, rejoice in the Lord. Finances are doing good, rejoice in the Lord. Finances are taking a hit. Are you getting it? Paul says, whatever happens, as I sit here in my dingy, dungy little prison cell in Rome for preaching the gospel and doing nothing wrong, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. Why? Look, to safeguard your faith. Rejoicing in the Lord is to safeguard your faith. So how do you navigate hardship? You rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to preach more on this soon, so I'm not going to go any further than that today. He goes on to say in verse 2, so watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil. Those mutilators who say to you, you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. So we got to rejoice in the Lord, and now we rely on what Jesus has done. You got to pay attention. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have had confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, Christine didn't even know. We're going to read this scripture. And she talked about the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is giving us very important keys on how to navigate hardship. Number one, rejoice in the Lord. Number two, rely on what Christ has done for you. Rely on it, not on your own human effort. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is, your resume is, your experiences and achievements are. I don't care what neighborhood you live in or grew up in. All that matters is Christ. You must rely on Christ. And I love how he points out in verse 7, all these things that the world counts as important, I count them as garbage compared to knowing Christ. Wow. In fact, in verse 8, he says, with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, in this life, we will face hardships. And if we're willing, we can learn so much more about who our God is and the power of Jesus Christ. He says, I've given it all up so that I could gain Christ. Rejoice in the Lord, rely on Christ, know Christ, gain Christ, and become one with Christ. How do you navigate hardships? You got to look forward to Jesus Christ. You got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Paul says it's through faith in Christ. We must depend on faith in Christ. And look at verse 10. I want to know Christ and experience his mighty power that raised him from the dead. Do you know the only way you and I can experience the resurrection life and power of Jesus Christ is to go through something really hard where we feel like something's died or we just can't make it one more step and we cry out to Jesus and all of a sudden, boom, he sets us free. This promise comes true. He gives you more strength and there's breakthrough. Now you know him in a way you never would have known him before. See, you can't know Jesus as your provider if you just rely on your own income. But it's when your income becomes challenging, then all of a sudden you got to rely on Jehovah Jireh. I know, because when I was a nurse, I thought I relied on Jehovah Jireh until the pay started. Then I realized there was a part of me that still relied on the pay. And it gave me an opportunity to really learn how to rely on Jehovah Jireh. And because I witnessed his breakthrough, his provision, his generosity to me over and over and over and over again, I should not be able to enjoy the life I have on the pay I get. But God. And you can't convince me that he's not Jireh. That's why when some of you guys call me freaking out about different stuff, I'm like, trust me, I hear you, but God will provide. If you're faithful to his word, if you are faithful to what he's called you to do, if you're tithing, he will provide. And he's so good, even if we don't tithe like we should, he still comes through and provides. It's just who he is. So in order to experience the power of Jesus in our lives, we have got to rely on Jesus. Let's keep reading verse 12. Paul goes on to say, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus Christ is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree to some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. There's a lot here to unpack, but I love how Paul is saying, honestly, man, I haven't arrived yet. You know, you think about Paul, the Apostle Paul. He planted churches all around the known world. He suffered a lot. God used him to do great, mighty miracles. He wrote most of the New Testament for us. And even he says, I haven't even achieved perfection yet. He says, but there's one thing I do. I press on. I keep looking forward. I keep moving forward in faith. See, when it uses the word perfection here, I need you to understand that doesn't mean trying to be perfect. It means sanctification. That's a big churchy word that basically means the process of becoming like Jesus Christ, where we start to talk more like Jesus would talk, interact with people in a way that Jesus would do so, the way he taught us to do so, that we start to speak like he did and act like he did and love like he did. That's what sanctification is, and that's the term that Paul is using for perfection. He's like, I don't do it all right yet. I'm not 100% like Christ, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm on my way. See, sometimes the devil will just hang you up because look at you. I heard that word come out your mouth. You think you're a Christian. You shouldn't even go to church. You talk like that. You know how the devil works? You mess up and he's quick to come and try to kick you while you're down. He tries to convince you that you don't deserve God. You don't deserve his presence. You don't deserve to be around other people who believe in him. You should just stay home and quit. He's a liar. Tell your neighbor, don't believe his lies. See, even Paul said, I haven't arrived yet, but I just keep moving forward. I forget the past, my mistakes. See, he forgot the past, not just his achievements, his resume, which was ridiculously good. But he also says, I leave behind my mistakes. Hello? I leave behind when I haven't quite done it like I should do it. And I just keep moving forward in faith, rejoicing in Jesus, relying on Jesus, knowing Jesus, gaining Jesus, faith in Jesus. That's how you and I need to live. That's how you and I need to navigate hardship. Tell your neighbor, press on. So Paul is like, the only way that I can continue to move forward is to look forward. I don't know if you've ever been a runner, but if you watch some of these football players, they're running hard down a go route. They call it a go route. They're running hard down the go route. And if they look over their shoulder, whichever way they look, their running rate goes that way. Have you ever, okay, let me make it like this. Some of you didn't play football. You're driving. You're a new driver. You're backing up. What happens? Whatever way you look, you start to go that way. Right? And so you have to teach new drivers, be careful. Just because you turn your head, don't take the car that way. Because when we look back, it changes our direction. We're trying to go straight towards Christ, but when I look back, Lord, I deserve this because I've been, Lord, I deserve this because look at my resume. God, I deserve this because look what I've accomplished for you. Oh, then you won't get off track. Oh, God, I've messed up so much. There's nothing I can do. I try, and nothing ever changes. God. And you're trying to go straight, but every time you look back, it changes your direction. It gets you off course. Stop looking back. Look forward. Forget the past. Look forward. See, he said that there's one prize. He goes, I am pressing on for the prize of the heavenward calling. What is the prize? In the presence of Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. And you know what's so amazing to me is that we get to taste that now. We get to enjoy the presence of Jesus, the reality of Jesus in our lives, in our thoughts, in our day-to-day activities now. And it only gets better when we get to heaven. He said our goal is perfect unity with Christ. And the only way to get that is to stay focused on Christ. Come on, tell your neighbor, stay focused on Christ. You and I have to be determined to not give up. We got to be determined to run the race well, Don't rest on your past accomplishments. Can I be really honest? It really doesn't matter what you did for Jesus last week. How many guys can relate to that? You like have this amazing encounter with God last week, but this week you're like, last week where you're like, yeah. It's just reality. Can we be real? In this church, I want to be real. And that's why you just can't depend on last week's experience with God. Experience him again today. Experience him again every day. Focus on Christ. Feed yourself with Christ. How do you do that? Spend time in prayer. Talk to him. Get in the word. Read the Bible. I love you, but it does your own personal journey very little good that I read the Bible. It does me real, real good. On your pastor, it does you good that I do that on Sundays. But hey, you need it more on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Jesus says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Who's the Word? So how do you feed yourself Jesus? Gosh, I got smart people in the house. If you're not reading the Bible regularly, you will flounder. You will. So the only way to navigate hardship is to keep looking forward in faith, focused on Christ through the power of his word active in your life. So don't rest on your past experiences with God either. Don't get hung up by your past failures. You woke up in the morning and you and your kids were having a bad day and you yelled at them and you got to... Take a breath, go to the bathroom, say, okay, Jesus, it was a bad start. Help me. I don't want to feel like this all day. That's all you need. And then you just go out in Christ into the rest of your workday. What if you did that? I had a few moments in the bathroom as a nurse. Some people are, well, I just keep it to myself. And I had to find to just go be with Christ in the middle of my day as a nurse so that I acted like Christ. Because it can be hard, y'all. But God, you got to keep your focus on Christ. So don't rest on what's good or bad, how your day started. Shift your day. Shift your week. Some of you say, oh, well, this day is off to a whole bunch of beep. It's just going to be like that forever. This day is going to set all day long. I can tell because I woke up feeling like it. Stop speaking what the devil wants you to speak over your day and say, but God, this day is going to turn around and I'm going to feel, come on. I'm going to feel Christ in me, working for me, with me, every step of the way. Change your stinking thinking. Don't get distracted. So you got to look forward and not look behind, but don't get distracted by the side-to-side stuff. Okay? I just want to say a word about the politics in our country. There are a lot of feelings on both sides, however you voted. But I want to say this with all the love of my heart. The devil divides. Jesus unites. Do not, listen to me, all of us who are going to get together with our families and our friends for Thanksgiving, Christmas, do not hang out with someone, like choose to refuse. Do not refuse to hang out with someone because they voted differently than you wanted them to. That's of the devil. Because he wants to divide people from their friends and their community, because when you're isolated, you're easy prey. See, when the sheep stays with the pack, the sheep is protected. But when the sheep wanders by itself, the sheep is therefore killed. So don't let the devil divide you from the people that God has placed in your life as your family and your community. That's just of the devil. And I just want to expose it. Because that's some of the side stuff. Some of the side stuff. Just because they're mad about it doesn't mean you need to stay mad about it. Give it to Jesus. No matter who sits in the Oval Office, Jesus sits on the throne. And you know what I love is that if I will obey Jesus, I get to be part of his kingdom, and that kingdom supersedes whoever's in this kingdom in America. His economy, I'm tapped into that, whether this economy does good or not. Just get a little perspective. I don't know how you feel about it. I've been hearing crazy stuff. And I actually even know some people where their kids were like, I am not coming to Christmas this year because of blah, blah, blah. It is all politics. That's side stuff. Don't get distracted by side stuff. Social media, what the new thing, don't get distracted. Focus on Jesus. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Y'all might know this, but we're going to read it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run the race with endurance that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We have a journey of faith that we're all on. We have a different race that God has called us to, but it's the same race in the sense that we're running to Jesus. It might look different day to day. It might look different bit depending on your calling, but it is the same faith race. And the way you do it well is you get rid of the sins. You got to repent. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Don't hang on to sins. They just hold you back, trip you up. But look what it says. Also, the weights that slow you down. You know what weights are? They're not sins. They're things in your life that hold you back, slow you down. The side stuff. The side stuff. It's not exactly sin, but it slows you down. It distracts you. Stay focused. How does it do it? Verse 2, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Even Jesus, verse 3, it says that because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Even Jesus, he didn't focus on the cross. He focused beyond the cross. Christine so beautifully shared today the story of Lazarus from last week. Jesus said it will not end in death, but Lazarus died. And it did not end in death. Sometimes the way God does things seem like, this is not what you said. Well, because he ain't done yet. I'm here to tell you, if God gave you a word and it's not looking like you think it was supposed to look, he's not done yet. The side stuff. Just get it all out. Even Jesus said, I'm not going to focus on the cross. I'm going to focus for the joy beyond it, that I will have a church, that I will have a bride. Come on. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Verses 145 through 148. Psalms 119, verse 145 says, I pray with all my heart, answer me, Lord. I will obey your decrees. I cry out to you, rescue me, that I may obey your laws. I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. The psalmist is giving us some important insights. He's obviously going through something really, really difficult because he's crying out to God. He wakes up in the morning crying about it. But look at what he says. He says, I'm going to pray and obey. He says, I cry out. That means you can be honest with God about how you really feel. He knows anyway. And he's not turned off by how you feel. He is very intimately aware of emotions. Jesus experienced them all. But I love how he says, I cry out for help and put my hope in your word. You know, you can do both. You can cry out to God because you're in a difficult situation and put your hope in God. Some of y'all need to get this. You can feel a certain way and you could still hope in God. Isn't that good to know? you have emotions, and in your emotions, you can choose to put your hope in God. Your situation won't change, but how you feel about it will change. And look what he says. This is so good. Verse 148. I stay awake through the night thinking about all the problems, all the outcomes, all the what ifs, all the I can't sleep at night because when I put my head down, I just start thinking about everything that I got to do and all the problems that are going to happen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So you take a pill, you put on your noiseless headphones, and you put on some kind of because you're trying to drown out your head thinking about all the problems, and you're just laid awake, and you're like, Jesus, I can't count sheep. I'm counting my problems, and they're a lot. But you know what the psalmist says? Look at it. Look at it. I stay awake thinking about your promise. What if, instead of sitting there tossing and turning about all the problems and the concerns and everything that you got to do, what if you just said, God, this is your word to me, and you just start teaching, you just preach to yourself. This is what you say. This is what you do. Something that works for me. Because during COVID, you know, I found this part of like kind of I'd go to bed at night and my mind was just like, you know, they say it's hormones, but I don't know. And there's this going on. And I read this email and this devotion and I put it into practice and I've been doing this for years now. When I lay down and my mind is just all over the place and I'm having a hard time going to sleep, I start thinking about the names of Jesus, the names and titles of Jesus. And I start with A, Adonai, Almighty, Ancient of Days, B, Beloved, Breakthrough, C, Comforter, Counselor, Christ, D, Defender, Deliverer. You know what it does? I'm fixating on who my God is and what he does for me. E, Elohim, Eternal, Everlasting, F, Friend, Father, G, Good. There are a few nights when I make it to Z and I got to start over. But for the most part, I don't know where I left off because I ended up drifting to sleep pretty quickly. So maybe you can borrow that one. And you know what? I don't know. I'm kind of competitive with myself. So I wanted to keep thinking of more A's and more B's. And then the next day I was like, oh, yes, that's right. I can add that to my list. He's my banner. Yeah. Now the next night I'm like, B, banner. It redirects my thoughts on who God is. The psalmist says, I lay awake thinking about your promise. Some of you need to stop thinking about your problems and you need to think about his promise. Worship team, please come on up. So this one says, pray, obey, whatever the Holy Spirit is wanting you to do, obey. You can cry out to God with your emotions, but put your hope in his word and think about his promises. Last scripture, Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Ooh, tell your neighbor, it's a good word. Nah, it is. Holy Spirit gives us good words. Psalms 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do. One more time. Trust in the Lord and do. When you don't know what else to do, do. But I don't know what God wants me to do. Good. Amen, I think. Just do good. When you don't know what else to do, do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. This is not a scripture that says if you trust in Jesus, you'll get a red Ferrari. People want to take this one and say, oh, I delight in Jesus. I'm going to get the most perfect man. No, this is not what that verse means. If I delight myself in the Lord, that means that I'm in love with him. And I enjoy spending time with him. And I enjoy his word. And I just want to be with him, whether I get something or not get it. That's not the point. I just want to be with him. And as I spend time with him, he actually changes my desires to become like his desires. And then he fulfills those desires. Isn't that amazing? And if you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you new desires, his desires, and he will cause them to come true. Verse 5, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. In other words, he's got your back. When people judge you, when people misjudge you, when people betray you, he's got your back. You don't have to defend yourself because he's your defender. That's what that verse means. Look at this. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret when you see wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land, which is a metaphor for the promises. So here's how you quickly break down Psalms 37. Trust God. Do good. Delight in him. Commit everything to him. Be still. Wait patiently. Refuse to worry. Refuse to fret. Learn to manage your anger. Trust in the Lord. Three times in those few verses, trust in the Lord.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.